Okay, so yesterday we talked about the Midrash and Bamid Baraba that says that specifically when Hashem told Moshe to have the Jews in camp according to their tribes by flag, he panics and he says, oh, there's going to be fights. And Hashem calms him down. He says, don't worry. They already know where to dwell from the time of Yaakov, seemingly reading Beit Avotam, not as their family houses, like in the localized sense, but in the house of their father. And we argued yesterday that the Midrash is right, trying to negotiate the national identity mixed with tribal identity. Right? And what it's saying is that, well, if they, you know, if they've been in this you know, if they've been in this state since, you know, they know where to dwell since the time of Yaakov, and then they were clearly functioning as a family, even though they were, you know, separate people, right? So you can also negotiate a similar, you know, dual identity, a national identity, and a tribal identity, and they aren't necessarily in contradiction. Now, you know, I was thinking about this Midrash because Rabbi Price makes it one of the bases of his drashot, and he takes a different approach, and I think this is a right. This is a an interesting approach in terms of how you think about Midrash. So he goes, right, he notes, right, I think what drives him in terms of how he reads the Midrash is that, as we said, right, the Midrash brings in what scene to explain the possibility of the Jews getting along even though they have separate identities. The deathbed scene of Yaakov. Now, you know, it's never quite clear how much different Midrashim are related to each other. But let's say that your methodological assumption is that Midrashim build on each other. So what Midrashic image comes up in that context, right? What Midrashic image is much more famous, as we mentioned briefly yesterday, of that moment, of Yaakov's deathbed scene? The Shema Yisrael, right? This is a very, right, very well-known Midrashic image that Yaakov calls, right, and a version of it appears in the Gemara, versions appear in the Midrash, that Yaakov calls his sons together, and he wants to tell them the future, and then Ruach HaKodesh is taken away from him, and he says, oh no, maybe someone in my family is not Ra'ui, someone in Mitati is not Ra'ui. So, it must be that, right, that something's wrong, and then they say, no, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kishem Shevelivcha Echad, right, don't worry about it, just like in your heart is Echad, so too in our hearts God is one, and he realizes that that's not why it is being withheld from him, and he responds, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Va'et. So Rabbi Price, I think, is motivated really by reading the two together, and he comes up with a very interesting theory, okay? And he says as follows. He says, fights, he thinks, are a product of all types of fights between people, between nations, right? All types of discord is a product of the fact that internal to every person is an inherent division, namely the body and the soul, right? That the soul wants to follow God, the body doesn't, and there's a constant struggle between them, right? And the ultimate goal, the only way to really have internal peace is not just to reconcile, right? But the way you reconcile is if the body learns to subjugate, or the soul manages to subjugate the body, and then you create a synthesis, a healthy hybrid. But he thinks that the internal division in people is what expresses itself in fights, right? He bases this partially on Vayikach Korach. So Unkel is translated as Rashi notes, V'itpaleg, he divided, which really sounds like he divided himself, right? He was divided, right? That it's the internal struggles within him, it sort of manifests, right? If you are completely, if your soul is in charge and can control your desire for material wealth, for power, so then there will be peace. And if it can't, so then you are going to end up fighting to get it. So he takes this idea, right, and he reads it into the Shema story, the Shema image, and he says that Yaakov looks at them and he says, "Oh, maybe the problem. Why are they not ra'ui? Because my sons are not, do not have this synthesis like I do." And he's very medayik in the midrash or the gemara that it says that maybe there's a psul b'mitati, not in my children, but specifically in my bed. Now that's an image of my children, obviously, right? But he says maybe what the midrash is drawing your attention to is that what he's saying is maybe they are taken over by the fact that they are, right? Mitati like draws to your mind specifically the more physical aspect of procreation, right? They are materialistic, right? There's a problem like in their bodies. They are taken over by materialism, and therefore there is a division in their heart, right? That they are not unified, right? They have not managed to synthesize the spirituality and the physicality within them. And to that, they respond, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And as the Gemara has it, Kishem She'ein Bilibcha Ela Echad, just like in your heart, there's only one. In our heart, there's only one. He reads this very literally, that no, just like in your heart, there is no division. There's no internal division. Like you have a holistic view of the world, so too do we. Now, based on that, he offers a very interesting read. He says that what Moshe was afraid of was, if you cause them, if you tell them to live by tribes, they're going to end up fighting. What does God answer? They're not, because fights don't come from differences. Fights come from people who are not whole. But if you have people who, since the time of Yaakov, have learned how to synthesize spirituality and physicality, right, and therefore they have internal equanimity, then they're not going to fight even with people who have differences than them. Right? So his sort of metaphorical read of it is that he says, listen, you're afraid they're going to fight. They're not. Because they would fight if they were material people. Because then every difference is a reason to vie for power and for resources. But if, since the time of Yaakov, they are the type of people who synthesize the spirituality and the physicality, then they can successfully live as tribal entities with different identities, and nevertheless, they'll have peace. And he says that this is, to him, right, there's a famous piece of the Arizal, it's quoted in the Magen Avraham, that the reason that you're allowed to daven in different nuschaot is because, just like there were 12 different paths that create Yam Suf, there are 12 different paths to heaven, right? Which is, right, the Arizal's way of saying that you don't actually have to be identical, right? As long as you're all going towards heaven, there are actually different paths that you can reach it. And he uses that to metaphorically read this midrash. That what God was saying was, listen, they can have different spaces, they can have different paths in life, and they nevertheless won't fight because fundamentally they have a spiritual wholeness that will allow them to deal with difference, right? Recognize difference and not fight. And that's when he you know, and then he reads this into the Mishnah, of kol machloket shi l'shem shamayim, right? Sofa lehitkayim, kol she'ena machloket l'shem shamayim, right? It will not be mitkayim. Why? Because he says, right, if you have Hillel and Shammai, right, where they're both going towards the truth, then even though they disagree, there isn't a, right, there's a fight. They can live with each other, right? And he points out how much the Gemara talks about this, that according to one Shita, Beit Shammai didn't even act in their position so that they continue marrying Beit Hillel, right? They held their position, but it wasn't personal, right? Because they had that wholeness, and therefore they had differences of opinion, but they didn't, right? It wasn't, they weren't just vying for power. As opposed to Korach, who the way he reads it is, right, it was an internal division, right? He was just, that led him to express itself there. And he, you know, obviously because Bamidbar is usually, almost always, though not this year, the week before Shavuot, right, he argues that this is really what's going on at Har Sinai. Right, at Har Sinai, they're learning, the Jews are learning to have this internal synthesis, and he thinks that's what is behind the midrash of Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, Kishachad Belev Echad, that specifically at Har Sinai, where they rose to such spiritual levels that gave them the power to have the soul take over the body and synthesize, therefore, their body in the service of God, and mimela that led to peace amongst people, right? Because, again, his whole theory is that people only fight when they don't manage to make their bodies synthesize with their soul and all be aimed towards God. And this is sort of the organizing principle of the drasha. He makes it play out in many different places. Very interesting places. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit before Shavuos next week. But that's how he reads this midrash, right? And again, the methodological assumption of how to read the midrash that he plays on is that if there's a famous Yaakov scene that's being invoked, you should understand it in light of the other Yaakov deathbed scenes, and then use that to understand the midrash. And this is his metaphorical read to synthesize those midrashim. I thought it was a very interesting take. I don't know if it's shot in the midrash, but I think it. I'm not sure, but it definitely shows a very interesting assumption of how you're supposed to read Midrashim in line with each other. Okay, so that's a second perspective on the Midrash besides for what we shared yesterday.